Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodie, and I am your host. And we're going to start doing things a little bit different. We're going to shake up the show a little bit. First, I spent quite a bit of time, between 3 and 5 minutes, talking about the things that I liked and just kind of about my week in general. I thanked the Patreon supporters, and I did my Patreon pitch. We're going to change things up just a little bit. We're going to get right into the show from now on and see how that works. I don't want to turn anybody off that might come to the show and hear me talking about my day or my week and then decide, you know what, I'm not going to listen to this guy. So we're going to do that. That's a little bit different than normal. Also, this week we have Jessica Kirsch on for her Kirsch rant, and we talked about full self-driving, and we talked about her SpaceX trip back down to Boca Chica to see SN10. It was a really good chat. I enjoy having Jessica on. And if you didn't know, she is a regular guest host once a month. So exciting to have her. And our Patreon exclusive content this week is the news. just like as if I was going to do a regular show, but then, you know, you get the added bonus of having Jessica Kirsch on. So for all the Patreon supporters, you get to listen to the news. For the non-supporters, you get to listen to Jessica Kirsch. Now, Patreon supporters get to listen to the news and Jessica Kirsch. All right, one more thing before we jump into the news. I don't normally read reviews on the show, but Michael took the time to contact me on Twitter and said, hey, I just left a review on Podcast Addict. I hope it helps, which is incredibly sweet. So I went to Podcast Addict and I looked for the Kilowatt Podcast and I read the review, and this is how it starts. I was told that my 5-star review would be read on the air. Also, that there would be Punch and Pie, future Cybertruck owner, sucking in all of the Elon-adjacent media I can get my ears on. Greatly appreciate your unique perspectives as a firefighter and from Arizona as a and cyber enthusiast. It's a nice break from all the San Fran Model 3 and S angles. Not that Ride the Lightning is not a great show. It is. It's a great show. Ryan does a great job. Former Spotify, current Google Podcast listener. I only downloaded and joined Podcast Addict to leave reviews. Cheers, Michael Lee. Michael, thank you so much. So nice of you. And it's a very cleverly worded and funny review. So I don't know if you're just taking the, did I ever say that I would read 5-star reviews on the air? Because normally I only read the negative ones if I read any, but it doesn't really matter because it was very charming. You made my day, Michael. All right, let's jump into the Kirsch rant.
Sit down, put your hands in your lap, and open your ears. It's time for a Kirsch rant.
Jessica Kirsch, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bodie. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, I love having you on the show. I keep saying we should go through these and we should just record our conversations prior to these.
It's ridiculous.
But yes. So just in case anybody was curious, we covered the Puritan life that we live in the United States versus Europe and Australia.
Yep.
We talked about communes. And growing up in small communities in the Midwest and Alaska. What else
Under
did we
rock?
Chat about?
Yes.
Under a rock.
Let's see.
Freak flags flying.
Yes. Let your freak flag fly. We touch on all kinds of things. I priced out a Model Y. We talked about your Cybertruck. Starship pieces. Oh, yeah, I didn't finish. I got to... Burr, burr,
burr, burr. Oh, okay.
Once I see the price, I'm like, this is dumb. Why am I continuing this? It's just going to make me feel bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you get real close to $60,000 without much effort on that Model Y.
Especially with, full self-driving prices. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's start with that, because I want to talk about your trip to Boca Chica to see SN10 finally land and then... ultimately explode, but where do you think we're going to fall in terms of the price of full self-driving subscription that we're going to I think next month we should hear about sometime.
Yeah. To be honest, Freddie, I don't know. I was trying to kind of just break it down in my head. So if the current price is $10,000 for, is that like a, does that include unlimited over-the-air updates for the life of your vehicle? It's non-transferable, right?
Or you can, if you sell it yourself, if you sell it to Tesla, there's a really good chance that they're going to pull that out and make you buy it again.
I don't understand.
When they resell it to somebody else.
Oh, okay. I guess. Well, so I don't know. I would assume it's a couple of $100 per month, wouldn't you think?
Well, I have counter thoughts, because I've heard on a lot of different podcasts where they're like, this is going to cost at least $200 a month. And my general thought is it's going to be between $89 and $149 a month.
Wow.
Because...
pulling out my calculator. Okay. I like this theory. Continue.
When I first figured this out, and it might be the numbers might be altered, but it was based off of $7,000 for full self-driving.
Right.
But over 10 years' time, at $89 a month, you're at over that that price range, right? You're over that $7,000 for the full self-driving, and Tesla's money ahead.
Yeah, you're right.
In the case of 100, when then that's what brought me to 149, because they need to make it not, it's only like $1,800 over or something like that. I'm doing math in my head. 3680. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not, they need to make it a better deal for Tesla. So at $149 over 10 years, which is, I think the average is like 7 years people keep their car, but over 10 years, because it's a Tesla and they're really expensive and you don't want to be buying one every couple of years. I think that puts it at a price that makes the most amount of sense, as $149. And Elon said it would be cheaper. He said this last week. It would be cheaper up front, obviously, in any case, no matter what the price is.
Right.
It'd be cheaper up front, but ultimately the better deal would be buy it outright.
Right.
So I think that's where we're at in terms of, I think $149 is the top. I think $129 is more possible.
I think it's gonna be now that you say that, you know, and the Starlink subscription is $99 a month right now. Mm-hmm. I feel, yeah, those numbers sound about right. And as I did that pricing, $17,880 for $149 a month, that seems like a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But the $89 per month sounds, you know what? I think that it should include insurance.
Oh, you know what? That is a very fascinating, like, mm-hmm. if you do Tesla insurance.
Yeah, it's just, I think it should include insurance, because the car is driving right now, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, full self-driving beta people, when the car is in engaged, they call it, because they call it when you take over disengaging, which Elon calls an error. He doesn't want you to have to disengage, right? Any input by the human driver should result in an error. And so the least amount of disengagements possible is ideal, obviously. But when it's engaged in full self-driving mode, anything that happens, Tesla is responsible for. I believe that's what I read.
Huh. That would be a good question for like Earl or Nick. Write that down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard that, but it might be true.
And it's in terms of when the autonomous, I've heard a lot of conversation on Clubhouse about the fleet, the people's thoughts on the autonomous vehicle fleet, and whether or not how all that's going to work and such. And it would make sense if it's on an operating system that is, you know, created by Tesla, if something happens, unless it's the other driver's fault, right? I feel like Tesla should build that into their pricing if they haven't already. I don't know. I could be really behind on that.
No, I think that's a really, because like my personal opinion is that if Elon thinks that this is worthwhile, like it's going to save people's lives, I don't think you hold that hostage. Mm-mm. I think that's a bad look for the company and for him as a person that's promoting this as something that's going to save people's lives. Mm-hmm. You can't have this only for people who are rich and can afford it. Right. But if you, and I don't know if Tesla's interested in this, but the idea of bundling this in with Tesla insurance in some way, yeah. And they're expanding Tesla insurance to, I think, Illinois, Texas, and Washington.
Oh, I didn't know it was already in.
They haven't done it yet.
Okay.
It's either Illinois or Wyoming or something like that. Okay. I talked about it last week. I can't remember. But if they were to bundle, that would be really them being putting their money where their mouth is if they bundled it with insurance. I mean, of course, that's going to take time for them to roll it out to each of the states.
But, yeah, but not that much time.
And the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But that's actually, that is, you just blew my mind right there.
I actually hadn't thought about it until just now. But I do know that Stephen Mark Ryan did a video. I actually haven't seen the video. But I do know that his most popular video of 2020 went viral, was titled Tesla Insurance or something like that. And he was like, what? Of all things, Tesla insurance. So now I wrote that down. I want to go back and watch it and see, because he's very forward thinking, in my opinion. He's got his head wrapped around real estate market, genomics, stuff like that.
What is genomics?
Oh, Bodhi, I've had people explain it to me recently. It'll blow your flipping mind. I don't want to mis-explain it, but as far as I know, you've heard of like the test tube baby kind of discrepancy or whatever, like in China, where they can manipulate certain genetic components of people. Mm-hmm. Or, there's like...
Oh, you mean like designer babies?
Yeah, and I think this goes in a direction that's not related to like the aesthetics of a human. I think it's more like if they're able to isolate the gene for some kind of genetic mutation for cancer, like breast cancer runs in my genetics. I actually have to schedule a mammogram. And if they can isolate that gene, it could be something as simple as like Neuralink placed into my head or something that they could stop the reactors or whatever that causes that, like before it even starts or something. But it's a whole genetic, the ability to isolate certain mutations, I guess.
So it'd be like DNA modding.
Yeah.
Instead of like body modding or whatever.
Yeah.
It would just be all internal stuff you can't see.
Yeah. Something along those lines. And that's just a broad description. Callum in the Tesla Twitter community on Clubhouse, he talks about this company called CRISPR. Mm-hmm. And he always mentions CRISPR and kind of explained like a broad, he should give you his, what he told me about it. It was very fascinating, but apparently that's like CRISPR. The future. Stephen Mark Ryan is he's an investor in Tesla and long, and then he also invests in Arc Genomics. Those are like his two. This is not financial advice. We are not financial advisors. Please do your own research.
Yeah, I know a little bit about CRISPR, not a lot, just through tech stuff that tech people talk about. Ah. But that's interesting. I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not technical advice or medical advice.
Nope, not medical. Investing. Nothing. We are not doctors. We are not.
So what I actually had you on, let's get to one other thing you mentioned. You mm-hmm. are a reservation holder for Starlink. How excited are you for that?
I'm really excited. I really just want to be able to put it in my front seat and drive with it. And I think that it's close to that capability.
Last week, they just announced that they filed paperwork with the FCC for you to be able to do that very thing. Yes. From a moving vehicle.
It's only a matter of time before you know, we're putting Cox out of business, or he's putting Cox out of business, or people are like, well, fiber, but this goes with you.
Yeah. No, like I mean, until it reaches speeds that beats my home internet up mm-hmm. and down, right? Because we get gigablast where I'm at. That's and I think you do too, right?
But it never is consistent.
Yeah, there are times, but I think some of that problem, there are times when it's really slow, but I think some of that might be my Eero routers because they're the last generation, not the newest generation. The newest generation allow for that speed.
Oh.
But I'm not going to spend another $700 on Eero routers mm-hmm. for my house. Because I just upgraded them in August, so. But yeah, it was right before they came out with the new ones. Mm. But yeah, until they can do that, it wouldn't make sense for my family, right? But mm-hmm. it makes total sense for my father-in-law, who wants to spend a lot of time out of his RV. Mm-hmm. Like he's going down to Tucson, he's going to the eastern Arizona, that kind of thing, and going doing all these hikes. It makes total sense for him to do it.
Yeah.
And you, because, I mean, in the last 2 months, you've traveled God knows how many miles.
Yeah. It would be really great to just set it. And then somebody asked if the capability or they could come up with a smaller dish, like a, I think he said like 1 inch thick or something that was mobile. And he said, sounds like a good idea. So if it could be a portable version that, you know, I could put in my backpack and just, you know, set it out on a table, that's a game changer for working from anywhere for everybody, you know.
Not only streaming, but you can also, like, we mentioned that when you got back from Boca Chica, which we're going to talk about here in a second, mm-hmm. like you were exhausted, but you just had to get all of that uploaded.
Yeah.
And you don't have a reliable connection.
No.
Just hanging out in the RV park.
Yeah.
So you have to wait until you get home to get all that stuff uploaded and edited and stuff. If you could do that during your downtimes, that's a game changer for you.
Yeah. It just would make the whole experience not, you know, like I would lose service when I was driving. That's a little, you know, discomforting, especially when it's night and I'm in hill country in Texas, but I knew it was only temporary. It would come back eventually, but to not have that worry and know that I could pull off at some rest stop and, you know, just put my shades up in my car and do some uploading and stuff and then keep moving, I probably would have stopped and taken taken more time to rest if I, you know, because I was hurrying to get there, so I knew I could, like, start uploading and shooting content and stuff like that where I had connection. But that would completely change everything. So.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, so let's talk about your trip. You decided, you went to SN9, and that was a little bit of a bust because they didn't launch while you were there, which was a bummer.
Yeah.
And then you decided to go back for SN10, but you stopped in Austin.
Yes. Overnight.
And
yeah. So SN10, the flight date, typically for SN9 and SN10, the flight date, obviously it moves, right? And typically gets pushed back, which in both cases, both of my drives to Texas were blessings for me because I was planning on just driving straight through 19 hours plus 6 stops, I think, because I tracked it all and did all my mileage and average miles per gallon and all that stuff to just kind of see, you know, because I would go 60, 70 miles, there'd be no gas station. And yeah, so I just needed to make sure I wasn't going to run out of gas and blah, 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 blah. But sorry, what was the question again? Oh, I stopped in Austin. SN10, I was pulling out of Phoenix. I just hit the 10, headed towards Tucson, on my way back to South Padre Island, Boca Chica, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, for the flight that was scheduled the next day. And I was on Clubhouse, and Jessica Mechman said, hey, did you hear Everyday Astronaut said it's going to be pushed another week? And I was like, what? And everyone's like, well, you can turn around, you're not far. And I was like, no, I'm going. I'm going to stay as long as I need to. And so knowing that it wasn't going to go the next day, I decided, okay, well, it's only 3 or 4 hours or whatever out of the way that I spent the night in Tucson in the hotel parking lot that I actually stayed at this summer in that hotel. Slept a little bit and then drove from Tucson to Austin, which I think was 14 hours. I was dying, not dying, but like I was running on empty when I cruised into the Tesla Gigafactory that's being built, where the Cybertruck is going to be built and produced, and the Model Y as well. It was like 1:30 in the morning. They will not let you go anywhere near the property. You have to park across the highway and then go up the ramp, and you can stand in this little part. Anyways, it was 1:30 in the morning. I was so exhausted, but I wanted to be able to shoot some kind of video because the weather was was really foggy. And I was like, okay, I'm going to wake up tomorrow. It's going to be gray, foggy. I'm not going to be able to see the building, which is exactly what happened. But so I got there. I pulled off on like a highway off ramp or whatever, and I did a live stream and was able to see the size of this factory. And it's only a seventh of the footprint of the final building. It is massive, Bodhi. It's massive. It's so big. Like,
when you compare it to like phase one, AMP one of the Lucid Motors building, how would you compare the two? Like, which one's bigger? Are they about the same size?
You can't compare them. The Lucid Motors building is one 50th. I'm not joking. Right now, Lucid, how it stands.
Wow.
It's enormous. And there's 4,500 acres that Tesla owns. And I've recently heard that they are also, SpaceX is going to be having, or going to have a manufacturing facility there in Austin. I'm assuming it's somewhere on that property. I've also heard a Starlink facility, some kind of assembly or production is going to be there. And then I can only imagine that they may build some kind of housing or some kind of community, I would think. I'm sure they're already buying up houses all over the place for employees and such, but it's going to take Austin's traffic, just from my experience, was a nightmare.
Oh, no.
It was bad. And the toll roads, they have variable pricing, which is very conflicting. I'm waiting for letters in the mail on how much my tolls were.
So does it matter what time you go?
I spent 2 hours on their website trying to configure it because I live cash only, right? So I was thinking I could like go up and like put cash in and then keep going. No, it all comes in the mail. So that was interesting. And the Gigafactory is right off of the toll road. So navigating that, and yeah, it was crazy, but it's very exciting. I personally feel that he's moving the production out of California and is going to be doing almost all of it. If not, I could see them closing down Fremont, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a very big possibility in terms of how expensive it is to operate in California, just as a, not all the other California problems that they have, but just in terms of just the amount of expense it is to operate in that area. Because, I mean, a studio apartment is in the, you know, $2,800 to $3,200 a month,
that's crazy.
Which is more than I pay for my house.
It's crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did, when you were at the Cyber, or when you were at Giga Austin, was it wrapped? Did they have the skin of like the Cybertruck? Have you seen pictures of it recently? Okay. So I'm going to send you
I didn't see any vehicles. There was crew working 24 hours, though, no doubt. And there were, I think, 13 cranes that I counted. It is, I can't even explain how much more enormous it is in person. Like, I see the flyovers, right, in the drone footage, but I actually have a video. It's just a quick, like, minute and 30, and it's nighttime, and it's through these trees because I ended up parking across the highway in a neighborhood on a side street dead end. That's where I backed the Kirsch Kona up, and that's where I slept that night. And out of my back window, I could see the lights and the steel and the cranes. And it's just a quick video that I shot with my Sony of part of the facility because I couldn't fit the whole thing in the frame. And this, it's what I think that Elon made a really great, I mean, that is a very solid, it's right by the international airport there. It's crazy. And I know Texas has its own set of, you know, challenges, much like California has, mm-hmm. you know, it's expensive to live there. Well, Texas doesn't have income tax. So there are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no state income tax, which you would think would be a reason to live there. But apparently the property taxes are through the roof. Mm-hmm. And so that you can get priced out of your neighborhood, you could buy a house and then not be able to afford your property taxes, you know, because they raised or whatever. And then also sure. the toll roads and the, from my experience on driving in Texas roads, they are not the best maintained, in my opinion.
Oh, you know, when I was little, my grandma lives in Texas outside of Dallas, and the freeway was always great when I was a kid, mm-hmm. but the roads around her house they were paved, mm-hmm. but they were not great roads. Mm-mm. I mean, not even a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes sense, you know, if they don't have taxes coming in from certain places, they're not going to be able to concentrate on that infrastructure. But I think that Elon and this pump of the economy. He said in the Joe Rogan interview. Oh, I'm sorry. My ringer is on.
That was me.
Oh, okay. The Joe Rogan interview that he thinks Austin's going to be. Wow. Is that it?
Yeah. The cyber factory is wow. angled to look like the cyber truck.
Oh my God. That's so flipping cool.
Wow. And then they got those little panels on there to make it look like the cyber
truck. Wow. That's so cool. It's so cool. And it's such a beautiful location. There's green and Austin looks like a really cool town. That's the first time I had been there. I didn't get to go like into the city or any of the arts district or down by the river walk. I'd like to see that stuff. Oh, that's so neat. Thanks for sending that to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have a friend who used to live in Austin and he was like, it's ridiculously expensive to buy a house even outside of the city.
Yeah.
And then they finally bought one and then he got a job back here in Arizona. And he was like, well, I guess I'm selling my house.
Right.
But yeah, it took him like almost a year and a half, maybe 2 years to find a place that met their needs, but they could also afford because it is spendy to live there.
Yeah. I immediately pulled up Zillow and Realtor.com on both phones, you know, when I got there. And I was like, okay, because all I could think, dream life, you know, Jessica goes into dream La La Land as I'm sleeping across the highway from Giga, Texas, where the Cybertruck's going to be rolling off of the production line. Can you imagine being able to photograph that and document that on a daily basis? Mm-hmm. That would be dreamy. So I was like, well, what if I could one day buy, you know, a house, and I looked up, it's like 1,100 square feet for like $450,000. Yeah. Like, no, this isn't going to happen. Let's like go in with like eight people. This isn't going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's true. It is very expensive there.
Yeah. He said it's going to be the biggest boom town in the next 50 years is what he said. You just watch.
Yeah. Well, that same friend that bought a house there, he was probably like 30 to 40 minutes from where he worked. Mm-hmm. And I've never been to Austin, so I can't tell you mm-hmm. what it looks like there or anything. But it was funny because as much as he complained about having to buy a house there and how expensive it was, he's now looking to buy a house in California because he works for Blizzard. We talked about Blizzard stuff earlier.
Okay.
And so we're chatting, and he was like, yeah, he's like, I have to, he's like, I can't get anything that would fit my family. He has two girls and him and his wife. He's like, and he's like, this is a crappy house, and it's like, it's $750,000.
It's insane. Like, minimum. Yeah. And like, needs updates or upgrades or has mold.
Oh, yeah. No, he's like, it's a garbage house for $750,000. Like, it's going to need a lot of work.
You know, real quick on that topic, Callum, whom I've met through Tesla Twitter on Clubhouse, he lives in Northern Ireland in Belfast. He's 29 and he owns two properties. You know why? He says that properties in Northern Ireland are so cheap. He says that his combined mortgage on both properties per month is $400.
Wow.
Two properties. Two.
Consider moving to Ireland.
I was like, So, the government just must regulate that, right? Our government's like, no, have at it. You know, just raise the prices. Who cares if people free can't market. Afford it? That's what foreclosure is for. Anyways, right. I could go on and on about that. But
No. We're running for another one of those.
So
we didn't learn the last time.
Austin to Boca Chica, it was 6.5. And when I say Boca Chica, Boca Chica is where the SpaceX launch... No, sorry. SpaceX build site, they call it, which is the high bay. I'm sure you've heard the high bay talked about, the mid bay, mm-hmm. which is where they store the prototype starships that are waiting to go. You know, they just move them around, basically. Move them around.
I just figured they're in like a six-pack. Like when you go buy a six-pack of beer and bottles of beer.
That's you would think, right? Like. You just pull one off and then just go. That's pretty much like they have it. For not having infrastructure, like indoor infrastructure really at all, they've got tents, like permanent tents right now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd think it'd be a little further along.
Well, Bodhi, there's so many people working in construction and, let's talk about Starbase, city of Starbase, okay. Texas.
Yes, because I asked you on Twitter, what is Starbase? Because you were cruising around watching these solar roofs be put on, yeah. And I didn't have a very good concept as to what Starbase was.
Well, so when you asked me, I had just seen the tweet from Elon that said creating Starbase, Texas. And I was there at the build site. So they call it the build site, which is where the high bay is and the mid bay. It's about a mile or 2 miles down the road or maybe more to the launch pad and the landing pad, which are next. They're on top of one another. Okay. So they launch, it comes down, it explodes onto the landing pad, which is right there. Fuel farm, everything's there. But they have them separated strategically, right? So if it explodes, it doesn't. Anyways, so I was sitting outside of the build site that tweet comes up and I was like, oh my god, this all makes sense, because I had just driven down Boca Chica, like the main drag. It's one street, and it's just two rows of, there's a row of houses on either side of you, right? One street, and there's all of these Tesla, they're wearing Tesla hard hats, white hard hats with the red Tesla logo, Tesla energy trucks parked outside of all these homes. So SpaceX has bought up basically all of the houses except for, I was talking to Boca Chica gal Mary, whom is an incredible woman, by the way. I got to meet her, and that was, you know, Boca Chica gal, right? She's she's a legend, and I don't even think she really has any idea how much of a legend she is and how valuable she is, but she's the sweetest. Yeah. Anyways, she still lives there. And I asked her, so how many of your neighbors would you say haven't sold to SpaceX? Because they've offered, right? They want to buy up all of it. And I think she said there's a total of 7 left. And I don't know if that's like couples in one house or if that's individual houses, because there are not that many houses on that street. There's maybe 30 total. Both sides. No, maybe there's, yeah, no, it's a small street. And so I saw the tweet and I drove down that boulevard and I saw construction crews all over these homes, like multiple homes in a row. Every home, they're on top of it, putting Tesla solar roof tiles on it and renovating. And some of them had already been finished being renovated. You know, they have those cool numbered address signs on the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Like they're very modern and sleek, and they're creating a city. And I immediately was, what were you saying?
To clarify, because this is just a small section of Boca Chica that Elon wants to call Starbase. And is this just for employees of SpaceX, like for affordable housing?
So this is all speculation. I have no idea. Just being there in the moment, though, when he released it and the timing and just seeing all of the construction, it looks like they're putting infrastructure in for suburban development outside of Boca Chica. So Boca Chica is, I call it one street, Boca Chica Village. One street. Now there's 7 homes that are still residents for now, right? The rest is all SpaceX, and I'm assuming it's employees, all that stuff. They also have like a little Airstream community or resort or whatever.
Cult.
Yeah, it's a little cute. I mean, it's just like a couple of Airstreams that have like little built out decks and stuff, which is cute. But I think, in my opinion, when I saw the tweet, I immediately, knowing Elon, I don't know him, but like his brain works, I immediately said, okay, this makes sense. Here we go. Ready? Buckle up. Bodhi, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
He's creating a city, not just a village or a town or a place just for SpaceX employees. I think he's incorporating a brand new city, like filing paperwork and all that stuff, to officially have a city, like a suburb, like a, I shouldn't say Phoenix, because Phoenix is huge, but like Phoenix 30, 40 years ago or something, 30 years ago, Phoenix started, right? And then now it's like suburban sprawl at the Wahoo, right? It takes an hour to get everywhere. But this, there's nothing down where Boca Chica Boulevard is. It's the Rio Grande River and then Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was driving along. I took the wrong turn one day. Wasn't paying attention and was driving along the border wall for like 6 miles. Like, oh.
I saw those pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of room to work down there. And as there were surveyors, it's a 2-lane road going in and out. It's like 14 miles once you turn onto Boca Chica. 2-lane road, surveyors, and like they're going to widen the street. It's clear. And then there were property, they were digging up lot, they, you know, sectioning out lots, like house lots on the Bayside. In my opinion, it looked to be like suburban housing development. Like I could, and then maybe there'll be a strip mall and shopping mall and a Target. And I could see this turning into a place, like a city.
Like a SpaceX utopia.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah. It's.
What are the chances that Elon brings a bunch of dirt in, some of it excavated from these houses, mm-hmm. and builds this massive hill and then puts his house, like a castle, on top of this hill?
You know,
what are the chances?
I could see him. I can't see him building a castle after I've heard he's sold off all his stuff and he's like going minimal, right? But I think that Elon, like 10 years ago, yes, he would have totally done that. He definitely. And this whole Doge thing, I could see him putting like meme statues everywhere. And
He's already built outside of the Boring Company. He's already got the guard tower.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Did you not know?
No,
like they have a guard tower in California in the little section where they do the boring company, and then they some guy won a contest and they paid him to be the like the castle guard for like 2 days or something like that.
I mean, I could see him like building an apartment, like a sky loft or something, apartment on top of the high bay or something, and being like the king of the land. I could see that.
Yeah.
You know? Or like making a starship prototype town or something where it's like a high rise housing or something. Cause it's literally nothing on both sides of Boca Chica Road driving down for 14 miles. It's swampland. Or swampland, I should say. It's if the water were high, it's just sand, you know, it's like wetland preserve. Mm-hmm. And so it's a blank slate. And I think Elon, you know, his brain's probably, he's got it all planned out. It's just like as he executes and slowly releases information. My brain was just going wild being there at that moment when he released that tweet. And I like look around and I'm like, okay, they're putting, you know, I worked in engineering for a couple of years and used to do proposal writing like for big construction projects. And I can tell piping, I can tell some electrical, like I can see things happening. And there's just, I literally just started looking outside of my windows and I'm seeing like ants, like construction workers just everywhere. And it's like, okay, yeah, he's serious. Like this is happening.
Yeah, that's cool. We have a vacation scheduled like in July.
Mm-hmm.
And like we thought about going down there, but then it's kind of difficult because of COVID and it's right before the kids go back to school and all that stuff. So
you should go. Bodhi, look me in the eyes. Might. You should go. You should go. This is history. Like this is.
But I want to go down if there's a launch scheduled, because there's no point in driving my family that far down.
In July, he plans to go orbital with Starship in July. It's March. Orbital. He's going orbital by July. So
yeah, we'll see. It's not just me. Like if it was just me, right? Mm-hmm. I would probably just book a ticket. And then I would meet like Brad and Sierra there, mm-hmm. and we'd hang out and chill out. But I
let me tell you this:
dragging the family.
South Padre Island. Have you been there before?
I have not.
It's lovely. It's quaint. It's charming.
It looks lovely.
It's islandy. You know, it's island time, and the beach is beautiful. It's huge. Not the beach that I was standing on live streaming. That beach is just like a rocky, dead fish thing right there. Not always like that. It just was a weird tide. But on the other side, there's actually a 24/7 live stream that you can watch by S Padre on YouTube. S Padre. And you can see it's like the beach is huge, like miles, and it's wide. And it's a really great vacation spot. I didn't realize Texas had nice beaches.
When I was a kid, we used to go to Texas, and like I said, they lived in outside of Dallas, but we would go to the beach quite often. Because my aunts and stuff would take us out there, and yeah, like amazing beaches.
And
but it was a lot of it was a very long drive from Dallas to get to the beach.
Well, yeah, I would recommend it. But I would say it's a thought in your mind, go for it. I would. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a very good chance that my wife's sneaking in to get something off the printer. There's a very good chance that, you know, we would go someday.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we'd maybe make it this summer.
So there, you've heard about the launch platforms or the oil rigs that Elon purchased and is converting to offshore. So that is going to be the regular launch and landing, in my opinion. They're going to start doing it offshore so they don't have to do all those road closures all the time. And and I think that's going to be happening. Like the first two platforms that they bought are being transformed now, but I think that there's going to be many because he said something years ago, but like hundreds of flights per day. He wants it to be like an airline travel kind of thing. And
yeah,
I don't know how much longer it's going to be. They're going to be launching from land, like the prototypes. It makes sense. You know, they build it on the land, they roll it to the launch pad, they launch it, and then it explodes or whatever. But once it lands, they'll dismantle it and then probably reuse parts. So I don't know. I don't know. It just, if you go and the launch doesn't, there'll be launches. They're launching like every 2 weeks now. Like, it's insane. There's static fires. The roar is insane. You feel it. Your whole body, you put your feet in the water, you feel the vibration.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like, my kids love space. My wife's a science nerd. It's not as like, I just think with COVID and two kids right before school, it adds complications that we wouldn't be able, like if something happened or there was an exposure or something like that. Like, we already went through, we thought my kid was exposed, and like I had to take off Monday or Tuesday. And then we didn't know if he could get to school today because we didn't have a thing. So exposing the kids in the class, this is like, there's a lot of.
I'm just saying, Texas. Well, when I was there, the Texas, I don't know how you feel about this, and I don't know how I felt about it, but the mask mandate is no longer statewide.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
But you just stay away from people.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you been to Sholo? Like, we went to Sholo in January.
I actually have never been there. No.
Oh, it's beautiful. But the masks in Sholo, this is kind of a side jag, but the masks in Sholo is few and far between. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah. So I think we're gonna get there. I just don't think it's gonna be this year. But
that makes me sad for you. I'm serious. It makes me sad for you. Anybody that says we'll get there, like I want everybody to see it before it's enclosed in a building or offshore.
Well, even if it's offshore, it's not that offshore. I mean, people all around Florida see that the space shuttle's launched in the
80s. But they're
80s.
Being launched from the ground,
yeah,
not the middle of the ocean. I'm just saying,
but it's not that far.
Just saying.
I mean, I don't know about South Padre or the areas that they have these platforms, but when I was in Alaska, mm-hmm. like my grandpa and my uncles worked on the platform. So we would drive them to the helicopter pad, and then they'd take off from the helicopter pad, and you could see them go. If it wasn't foggy, you can see mm-hmm. them go from the helicopter pad to the platform. Hi, Stella.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, if you experienced it, it's one thing, but to try to explain it to people, I can't. Like, I can yeah. only explain it to the extent that, like, I was not even a space nerd until I saw my first SpaceX in the sky cross in front of me here in Phoenix. That's when, like, I was Starlink. Interested because it was real. I saw it. I saw the stage separation with the glowing and the.
Oh, yes. During that test in California.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was my first experience with SpaceX. I knew of Elon. I knew of SpaceX. I didn't know they were connected at that point, maybe a little bit. I saw that and I was like, what is this? I need to know more.
Yeah. And there was a long tail on that too.
It was the coolest thing. And I just happened to be driving to a friend's house that night, like, and I looked up. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I and there's lots of things that I'd like to do, but
if it's not a priority, it's not a priority.
I feel shamed. Remember when we said that there's no shame and everything's okay as long as it doesn't hurt anybody?
That's true. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll stop pushing. I just want everybody to see it because it's just.
No, we do want to see it. And actually, during the time that you were out there the first time, that was one of the things that my kids were learning about space and stuff like that. So we watched some of the videos of SN9.
Yeah.
I was like, I have a friend there, maybe he'll launch. And I never did.
Yeah.
But then, so another thing, because we have very short memories in terms of news, but you went there like the week after the storm.
Yes.
So not only did you have to contend with the storm, but also there was still a lot of places where the gas pumps weren't working.
Nope. No power or no gas. There were a lot of stations, right. No gas. Driving by signs that were turned off. I was like, it took me like seeing six of those signs to be like, oh, they don't have any gas.
Yeah.
No gas. And highway lights were flickering. There were the rest stop gas or the rest stop restrooms. You know, you'd go 200 miles and there'd be a rest stop. They were locked shut because of the water, the boil mandate.
Oh.
So that was a challenge. Before I left Phoenix, I stopped at Fry's and I bought 18 1 gallon jugs of water. I'm still going through them. And every night that I would sleep, I had to move them from the back where I would lay down to the driver's seat because I couldn't fit all, you know, so it was like a moving back and forth thing. But I'm glad I brought all that water. I had no idea if they were going to have water or if I was going to be able to shower. Thankfully, that far south, they were affected for 3 days at the campground. No power for 3 days. The friend's RV lot that I stay on, they are completely off grid. So they have solar. They didn't even know that the power had gone out.
Oh, nice.
But then there were other people, other RVs who were still in the grid that didn't have power or water. But by the time I got there, they had water in the bathrooms and it was hot, which was great. Good. Yeah. That's all I asked for was warm water.
Yeah. The every now and again, the hot water heater at the fire station goes out. And like we're required, I mean, not that you wouldn't want to, but for cancer reasons, we're required to shower after every fire call that we go on.
Oh, really?
And there are times, man, like, well, if the engine gets back for the ladder or vice versa, that crew gets about half of a shower that's hot and then the rest is cold. And then if you get in there after them, it's nothing. Like, it's freezing water. It's miserable.
That sucks. Shower is my sanctuary and hot showers, that's where I regroup.
It's my meditative space.
Mine too.
Like, I take very long showers.
Me too. Yeah, that's my space. That's my space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, so there's a couple of things that I have here. First, you hit 4,500 subscribers on your YouTube.
Yeah!
YouTube.com/Jessica Kirsch.
Thank you. Yes.
KIRSH.
Yes. That was a big deal. Very
happy that you get that. That's pretty cool.
Thanks, Bodhi.
And then you were on the news. We talked about that off camera a little bit, but it sounds like you were on the news. It was like you were on the news, but then bigger news happened.
Bigger news happened right there, live.
Am I skipping too far or
no?
Do you want to get to that point? Okay.
No. Yeah. That whole day was so much sensory overload for me because it started in the morning. You know, I was up at my first alarm went off at 4, and I'm not a morning person, so like I lollygagged around for like an hour and a half and finally started moving, and they had the launch window open at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. 9 a.m. And so people were already at the beach with setting up chairs. I mean, there were thousands of people that ended up crowding there for the launch, but the first attempt was basically a static fire, which I've never seen in person. So they did a countdown, and I think it stopped at like 0.01 or 0.02. I don't know. The delay from the SpaceX feed from the beach that I was standing at was about between 10 to 30 seconds. So we would be counting down, and then they would launch before we hit zero because of that lag. And so it stopped, but I got to feel my first static fire because they launched the engines and then cut them, right? And that roar and like the energy and then wah-wah, you know, like, okay, aborted. So then they did a turnaround and Elon was on Twitter and said, okay, 2 hours, we're going to launch. And I don't know if they've ever been able to do it in the same day like that, but they were able to set it up, detank, refuel, do all that stuff, 2 hours, fix an issue and launch again.
Didn't they have some problems with the FAA for doing that? Was it that they were having the problems with?
So as far as I know, there's been all sorts of speculation for the SN9 issues and the pushback from the FAA. When a Raptor engine is swapped out after a static fire, as you know, they do a static fire to test all the engines. If they need to swap one out, then they do. And as far as I know, for SN8, they did a static fire on the prototype, three engines, had to swap one out, and the FAA recognized the swap out as a new launch vehicle. Just because it was one engine. So they were supposed to reapply for a launch license as a new rocket vehicle, not just a rocket with one swapped part. And so the FAA didn't grant them a launch license, but they went ahead with it anyways because it's Elon. And then the pushback with SN9 is that they had violated the terms and agreements of the launch license protocol. So I think Elon took to Twitter and he made a statement as talking about how the FAA's guidelines for, you know, interplanetary travel or whatever is for one or two launches a year, maybe maximum. But this is something it's like every 2 weeks they're starting to launch now. Mm-hmm. So the FAA he lit a fire under their butts and was able to push, once they launched FN9 or SN9, then SN10 was like 2 weeks later or less. So I think that that launch license reapplication thing probably just went away.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't fully understand it. And we're on so Jessica and I are using a new software called Riverside.fm to record.
Yeah.
And I only have an hour on the beta and we're already at 53 minutes.
Are we really? Oh my gosh.
Yes. So let's talk real quick.
Yeah.
About your interview, because it landed while you were discussing while you're being interviewed by the local news media.
Okay, so let me back you up. So SN10, it launched, it did its belly flop, it reignited the engines, you know, reoriented, landed, but it landed hard. And I'm still not sure why, something with thrust and propulsion. Landing legs didn't deploy also, but Elon said it was more than just the landing legs issue. They were crushed. So when it landed, it was kind of at a tilt. You could see it was landed on its aft flaps on the bottom, and it was sitting on the base, like the rim, but it was upright. And it was like the smoke cleared. We could all see that it was still standing, and the beach, everyone just went nuts. If you haven't seen that part of the live stream, you should watch it. And so about 5 minutes, we're all hugging, high-fiving, people are crying. The news media, the local news that had been there pretty much all day, came over to me and, you know, asked if they could interview me real quick. And I was like, you know, still like adrenaline. So they're talking to me, asking me what happened, blah, blah, blah. And we're just finishing up. They're like, you're a part of history. And I was like, I'm a part of history. And then in the background, it explodes. It explodes. The rocket explodes. So supposedly there was like a leak in some kind of methane leak maybe, and it just exploded. Like there were fumes, and I guess it was on fire still when it landed because it landed hard. And so I see it. I'm looking at my live stream on my phone, which is pointed at and I see the orange, and I turn, and it's gone. It's gone. Like, it's just a poof of nothing, which was so cool. But I had to ask the kids around me. I was like, who saw it? Okay, somebody come on camera. Tell me what happened. What did you see? And people were like, well, it fell over and then exploded. No, it exploded from the bottom. So it was like all this discrepancy. But it was just, like, I saw a static fire, and then I saw the launch and the land, and then I saw it explode, and then, you know, all in one day. And this was my very first in-person launch. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better experience.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a very, it was a momentous time, right? Because Sierra and Brad were there for SN9, but it crashed, right?
Yeah.
It was not successful. This one was mostly successful all the way up until, you know, it wasn't. But at least that landed.
It did,
right?
What, so it was. Yeah, that was the number three on the list, is, you know, the belly flop, the reorientation, and then the land. Like, stick the landing. Right. And it stuck, but it exploded.
And with SN9, they knew. They're like, oh, it's not. Oh,
oh, it came down. And
oh, it's not.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's just not.
And same with SN8. Yeah. SN8, the fuel was starved in one of the engines and basically ate itself. So it wasn't able to propel itself back up. So, yeah, SN9 crash landing. And then this was like just like what every kid, I'm assuming, kid that likes excitement and explosions and stuff. Like, this is just a dream come true all in one day.
Yeah, no, it's exciting.
I was screaming.
And I don't want to cut you off because we're having such a good conversation.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
For those who don't know, Jesse and I talk for like an hour and a half before we even record this show just about random stuff. But we only have 3 minutes left, so okay. I want to give you time to plug everything
you
want to plug. So what's your YouTube? What's your Twitter? What else you got?
First of all, thank you so much for having me on. My YouTube is youtube.com/, is that you call it? Jessica Kirsch, JessicaKirsh. My Twitter is twitter.com/Jessica_Kirsch. My Twitch is twitch.tv/Jessica Kirsch. What else is there? If you go to my YouTube, you go in the links in the description below, you'll see all my links. So,
yes. And I have a link to, I think, your Twitter and your YouTube in the show notes. So if you don't remember, you can't find it, you just go to the show notes.
Yeah. And I just want to thank you, Bodhi, so much for being such a support of my channel. It's great to have a familiar face and, you know.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Like, you come on, we have a nice chat. Like, it's honestly something that we do it once a week, but you're going to be on next week too.
Yay! So,
it's something I look forward to every single month.
Aww.
Having you on, and I'm really happy you're a part of the show once a month. It couldn't make me happier, honestly.
No.
So thank you so much. And,
thank you.
Yeah. I never know how to say goodbye. So say goodbye.
I think that's a wrap. Thanks for listening.
That's better than I could do. Thank you. All right. I want to thank Jessica Kirsch for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Go to youtube.com/Jessica Kirsch and follow her on Twitter, which is Jessica_Kirsch, K-I-R-S-H. Same spelling for the YouTube. And I would love it if my audience went and gave some love to Jessica. Like, she's very kind to come on and take the time out of her day to actually sit down and chat with us and just kind of make the show better. So go to Jessica's channel, show her some love. And then also, I should have mentioned this in the beginning, we take the video from our interview or our chat, and then Jessica turns that into content for her channel as well. So if you want to watch this, or you wanted to watch this on her channel, you could do that. I don't know why you'd want to go through all that again, but you can if you want to. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you want to email me, you can email me at bodie@918digital.com. My Twitter handle is @918digital. My DMs are open. And if you want to support the show at $1 a month, go to patreon.com/kilowatt or supportkilowatt.com, and you get access to the Slack. You get the extra show, because right now we're ending it for the non-Patreon supporters, but Patreon supporters, stand by for news. That was my Paul Harvey, my stupid Paul Harvey impression. It was terrible. Stand by for news. Anyway, I do appreciate everyone who listens, and have a great week.